The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Tony, did you watch the debate?
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, I actually got to live broadcast. It was pretty cool. Who do you think won?
Chafee.
What? Not even close.
He had the last word.
That doesn't mean he won, you formerly British dolt.
Hey, where's your brand loyalty? You helped to create a website called The Final Edition. The final anything has the last word. The last word wins every time.
So everything we publish and record is the definitive word on that subject?
Absolutely. Take this week's show. Example, a brilliant piece about Playboy who, after 60 years of selling bare-ass sex objects to ham-slamming losers, is dropping nudity. We have the last word on that, which is, no nudes is good nudes.
What about, do we have the last word on the so-called Freedom Caucus?
Yep, freedom is only for Caucasians.
Unemployment?
The last fully employed man in the United States loses his job. At last.
Well, that might happen to us if we don't get better endings to our bits.
Like this?
Like what?
This is the final
edition
radio
hour. Bing.
Man on the street!
Republicans and the House of Representatives are in disarray with no feasible candidate for the next House Speaker. The Final Edition asks the man on the street, what do you think?
What does feasible mean?
Boy, this stress may just drive Boehner to drink.
I know that I am a socialist and that you are Republicans, but I believe that maybe, just maybe, I can lead you.
I know who's a great speaker. Altec Lansing.
Maybe they could just lay off speaking for the next 2 years.
What about David Letterman? He's retired now.
Maybe they should just settle for a speaker of the foyer.
You know, if things keep going on like this, pretty soon this government's going to be a pretty sad state in 2009.
I think Lindsey Graham should be speaker of the closet.
What's important is that the president is a nick.
Hello, America. We're the Freedom Caucus. We're all about saying no.
And shutting things down.
And also, freedom.
You know, a lot of people have been saying, hey, Freedom Caucus, you got rid of Boehner. You don't want Kevin McCarthy. You're not into Paul Ryan. What is it that you want?
And to those people, we'd like to say,
we want the end of Obamacare.
We want to secure the border from immigrants.
We want the full debate of amendments on the House floor.
We want a new watch.
That would be nice.
We want an iPad Air.
I've got a Kindle, but even so, an iPad Air would be awesome.
Awesome.
We only want to eat good cereal, the kind with marshmallows and chocolate.
That's what America is all about.
Also, we want a puppy.
And we want one now.
So there you have it.
We're the Freedom Caucus.
What are you going to do about it?
Hello, and welcome to Behind the Headlines, where we at the Final Edition Radio Hour give our listeners exclusive access to the events and forces that shape today's headlines. Recently, Playboy magazine announced that they would stop doing nudity in the magazine. Here is audio from the very corporate meeting where that decision was made.
Okay, people, as you know, sales of the magazine have plummeted in the internet era. All the hardcore pornography anyone could want is just a few clicks away. F wanted us to determine if our best course of action is to up the ante on sexual content or to abandon the field and concentrate on the magazine's articles and interviews. So we contracted with an internet content provider to develop a pitch for raising the bar. Here with that pitch are Randy and Misty from Cock Explosion Incorporated. Go ahead, you two.
Yeah, thank you. The challenge is clear.
You are providing a 20th century product to consumers who demand boiling hot semen.
21st century boiling semen?
Excellent point. Here are a few mock-ups of what we think a modern issue Playboy should look like. First of all, here's an example of an updated centerfold spread.
Oh. Emphasis on the spread.
Wow, that's gonna hurt. How does she stay in that position?
Ah, that's what the ropes are for. Check out the rest of these pics.
I don't think we have a lot of models who are willing to do that stuff.
Again, that's what the ropes are for.
Yeah, how about our newsstand presents?
Oh, you want an eye-catching cover? Voila!
Ooh.
Ah.
February, the fisting issue. Oh, gee, I don't know. We want to appeal to a broad audience.
That's why we have a celebrity on the cover. That's Keira Knightley.
That's Keira Knightley?
It's her face. We also have some updated Playboy classics, like this one.
The Pac-10 Conference's Hottest Cheerleaders, with dicks. Impressive. Very impressive. But I don't think that's a real Stanford cheerleader.
It's a real dick. We've also got a great pictorial of the Playmate of the Month, having sex with the Pet of the Month.
Whoa, we can't use Pet of the Month. Penthouse Magazine owns that.
No, you don't get it. It's a real pet. Check it out.
Oh my god. That is really something.
Those Welsh corgis look cute no matter what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And finally, we continue with Playboy's award-winning journalism. Carly Fiorina on Donald Trump. And I don't mean in an interview.
Okay. We can't have photoshopped images of Carly Fiorina going down on Donald Trump.
Those aren't photoshopped. Those two will do anything for attention.
I thought I was a whore.
I'm sorry. Thanks for your time, but I think we might just go with eliminating the nudity altogether.
Have it your way. We got an offer on the same pitch from U.S. News and World Report. Your loss.
Thanks, and leave me a copy of that cheerleaders with dicks thing, will you?
We now go to a press conference in San Dimas, California, where John Rayburn, the last person in America with a full-time job, just got laid off.
Mr. Rayburn, were you shocked when they downsized?
Stunned. Seriously. I mean, I understand why all of you are temps and part-timers. You don't have the commitment. But I am John Rayburn. My last 5 performance reviews were highly satisfactory. This is crazy.
Has your opinion changed about the corporate leadership?
No, not at all. And frankly, your negative attitude is holding you back. The CEO in my company, Armando Slaughter, has always had a good reason. No matter what he does, he takes the hit for the shareholders. But I'm John Rayburn.
What are your plans, Mr. Rayburn?
Well, Mr. Slaughter says I can work an unpaid internship for a while, doing the same work I was just doing. If it goes well, it might turn into something full-time. It's an exciting opportunity.
Well, good luck, Mr. Rayburn.
It's not a matter of luck. If you work hard in this country, people are going to recognize it.
This week, a Los Angeles man was convicted of murdering his live-in boyfriend, decapitating the victim's body, and hiding the body parts in Griffith Park. We now take you back to that horrible day when the Los Angeles Police Department cordoned off the gruesome crime scene.
Good afternoon, Sergeant Jackson. I'm Lieutenant Johnson. What do we got here?
It's a mess, Detective. Body parts everywhere. I just discovered the victim's left hand.
Okay, where'd you put it?
In the guy's trunk.
He drove here?
No, why do you ask?
You just said you put the hand in his trunk.
No, I meant his trunk.
So he drove here?
No, why do you keep asking me
that?
Because
you just said you put the hand in his trunk.
I did.
And where's his trunk?
2 feet over there.
I know there's 2 feet over there, but what I want to know is, where's his trunk?
2 feet over there.
Never mind that. Give me a hand.
I can't. It's in his trunk.
And where's his trunk?
2 feet over there.
I know there's 2 feet over there, but where's his trunk?
2 feet over there.
Oh, forget it. Did you find his head?
No, not in this neck of the woods, but I did find his shoulders.
Where?
Just below the headland. Lawrence.
I don't know where that is.
That's okay, because I put his shoulders in his trunk.
I thought you said he didn't drive here.
He didn't. Why do you ask?
You just said you put his shoulders in his trunk.
No, I meant his trunk.
And where's his trunk?
2 feet over there.
I know there's 2 feet over there, but where's his trunk?
2 feet over there.
Never mind that. Give me a hand.
I can't. It's in his trunk.
And where's his trunk?
Two feet over there.
Look, I know there's 2 feet over there, but where's his hand?
In his trunk.
Okay, let me get this straight. You can't find the head.
Right.
And you put the hand and shoulders in his trunk.
Uh-huh.
Which is?
2 feet over there.
I know where the feet are. Oh, good. I see at least you found his shins. How'd you manage to do that?
Easy. Simple legwork.
Gah!
Hello, welcome to my podcast. I'm Jekka, and this is Pretty Girls Are People Too. That's right, I said it. I'm a pretty girl. I like dresses, I wear makeup, I had surgery to get the perfect double D's, and I haven't eaten solid food since 2008 because if I didn't have thigh gap, I'd die. But I'm just living my life, entering beauty pageants, then being mad when construction workers wolf whistle at me. Is it my fault that my being really pretty distracts you? Actually, nope. It's totally not. Grow up. Join me after the break when we discuss the important question. Am I too pretty to play volleyball? Don't get it twisted, get it twisted. Does my
shit bow down with you? With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Pull up your pants, we're back! It's the Final Edition Radio Hour!
I am officially running for President of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again.
Turn off the TV, Billy. It's time for dinner.
Called The Big Lie.
Mom, when was America great?
Let's see. After we won our independence, it was great, and during the Roaring Twenties. Oh, and on July 13th, 1988.
What happened on July 13th, 1988?
That's when Mommy made love for the first time. I'd say on that day, America was pretty friggin' fantastic.
Oh. Do you think Mr. Trump can make America great again?
That depends, sweetie. If he can turn around our economy, then maybe. If he can improve our health care, then he has a shot. And if I can feel the hot embrace of a well-endowed teenage boy named Jimmy Anderson, then yes, Mr. Trump will definitely make America great again.
If anyone can do it, it's Mr. Trump. He's awesome.
I hope you're right, honey. I really hope you're right.
Mom?
Yes, kiddo?
What happens when America's great?
Well, what do you think?
Businesses are booming?
Yup.
And crime is down and people are getting along?
That's right. All of those things happen when America is great. And most importantly, I have a hot feeling in my loins that keeps growing and growing until I just can't take it anymore.
Wow. America sure isn't like that now.
No. No, it isn't.
Dad?
Yeah, bud.
Why isn't America great now?
Because it's hard to be great, Billy. But I think America's still pretty damn good.
Please.
It's getting better, okay? America's getting better.
It's mediocre at best.
Well, I'm sorry if I haven't lived up to Jimmy fucking Anderson! You know what? I'm done here! I'm out!
Mom? I sure hope Mr. Trump makes America great again. For Dad's sake. I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking of the right words to say. I know they don't
sound the way I planned them to be. And if I had to walk the world. And now, here's a preview of Gloria De Silva, Lesbian Psychic, coming this fall on the Vagina Network.
Gloria De Silva, Lesbian Psychic.
Oh, Denise, you feel so good. That's it. Now, a little over to the left, a little more. I just had a vision. I have to call the commissioner right away. Commissioner, we might have a very serious problem on our hands. You have to shut down the Lincoln Tunnel. Immediately.
This fall on the Vagina Network.
What is it? What are they?
When Florida is full, the dead living walk the earth.
Bye, Mom. Dad, see you later.
Not so fast, young lady.
Aw, Dad, I really gotta go.
Have a seat, Ms. Liggety-Split. Your mother and me would like a little talk with you.
Dad!
Please, honey.
What's up? Something wrong?
Well, the jig, as they say, is up, young lady.
Oh, Bud, don't be so dramatic. Honey, your father and I know that you and your friends have been worshiping Satan.
What?
Amber, you're a bright young girl. Don't act dumb with us.
You're crazy. I don't... Mom!
Amber Starbeam Rainforest Smith, we have always treated you with respect and honesty and expect nothing less from you in return.
Honey, we just want to say that it's all right and we support you in this.
Really?
Well, we're just a little upset that you didn't come to us with this.
Well, I didn't think you'd understand.
Well, you may think of us as two dodgy old codgers, but we were young once too, you know.
Pumpkin, your interests are our interests. What's important to you is important to me, us.
Gee, Dad.
So, what's it like calling on the Dark Lord? Is it neat or fresh?
Oh, it's totally awesome, Dad.
Awesome. Well, I hope it's not some fly-by-night fancy like that pony we got you last summer.
Oh, no, Dad. I promise.
Hey, Phil Vivillamore isn't in your coven, is he? That kid's bad news.
Oh, no way, Dad. He's a creep.
Good.
Well, Amber, is there a special boy?
Well...
Is that him outside?
Yeah.
Well, show him in. I'd like to meet this Mr. Wonderful.
Oh, Dad, please don't embarrass me.
Bud, be nice. Don't scare him off.
I'm not gonna... Well, young man, it's nice to, Whoa, that's quite a grip you got there. Varsity? Amber, could you get me a Band-Aid from the bathroom upstairs?
Sure, Dad.
What's your name, son?
Natus Ferguson. My friends call me Nate.
Well, Natus, I'll be blunt. What exactly are your intentions towards my daughter?
Oh, she will be the host for the Black Prince.
And therefore the Antichrist. She is the fertile soil for my demon seed.
And how do you plan to support this seed?
Well, I got a job down at the Jiffy Lube. I'm taking some night classes in civics. And I'd really like to get into politics.
Aw, Nate, you're boring him to death. Tell him about the band.
It's just a little jazz combo.
Really? I'm a big jazz fan. Sade, Chuck Mangione, Manhattan Transfer.
Birdland, a classic.
So, where are you kids going tonight?
We have tickets for the Marilyn Manson concert.
Okay.
I don't know. Amber likes them. And as long as she's happy
and fertile,
that's all I care about.
Come on, Nate. Bye, Mom. Dad.
Kids.
This portion of the show was brought to you by... This portion of the show was brought to you by...
I've been using a Now a Word from Our Sponsor for years with little or no results. Then I tried This Portion of the Show was brought to you by... Sales of my nondescript fake product went through the roof. Thanks, This Portion of the Show was brought to you by...
That's right. This portion of the show was brought to you by... was specifically formulated by our expert technicians at... This portion of the show was brought to you by... to achieve maximum content exposure for your product, device, or dangerous religion. Just listen to this shit, assholes.
It's hard to believe, but this portion of the show was brought to you by... work twice as well as listen to this shit, assholes. I'll never go back to listen to this shit, assholes. Unless, of course, it's introduced with... This portion of the show was brought to you by Listen to This Shit, Assholes.
Here's another testimonial.
I've used other phrases all my life, like more to come after this, and I mistakenly pissed in the sink, to little or no results. Now I think I have rabies.
Thank you, Edie, I mean sister. So the next time you need to increase sales, swelling, or inflammation, why not come over to This Portion of the Show Was Brought to You By. And while you're there, pick up a free sample of You'll Be Glad You Did.
Wow, this You'll Be Glad You Did is good for anything. I wish I'd known about You'll Be Glad You Did before I bought Did You Know You'll Be Glad? Boy, was I ripped off.
So don't be ripped off by other word combinations. Come by This Portion of the Show Was Brought to You By today, or you'll regret it for the rest of your life.
Wow, this or you'll regret it for the rest of your life is good for anything. I wish I'd known about or you'll regret it for the rest of your life before I bought The Rest of Your Life You'll Regret It Or. Boy, was I ripped off.
So don't be ripped off by other word combinations. Come by This Portion of the Show Was Brought to You By today. Do it or fall down a well.
Wow, this do it or fall down a well is good for anything. I wish I'd known about Do It or Fall Down a Well before I bought Well, Do It or Fall Down A. Boy, was I ripped off!
Do It or Fall Down a Well!
Boy, was I ripped off!
Do It or Fall Down a Well!
Boy, was I ripped off!
Do It or Fall Down a Well!
Boy, was I ripped off!
Do It or Fall Down a Well!
Boy, was I ripped off!
Do It or Fall Down a Well!
Are you sentencing someone to prison or going to prison yourself? Then you're missing the boat if you don't check out Dave & Buster's Maximum Security Prison near Chula Vista. Yep, the folks who bring you the South Philly Burger, Million Dollar Margaritas, and Dance Dance Revolution are getting into the corrections industry. We've got the only prison yard with a Drown the Clown game, and the cafeteria serves up the same pretzel dogs and Parmesan potato chips you've come to expect from a Dave & Buster's.
My name is Judge Brandon Forsyth with the Superior Court of California in San Diego. I have not been paid by Dave & Buster's Maximum Security Prison. I just happened to send all of my defendants there for long and harsh sentences. I have nothing to apologize for.
That's right, Your Honor. And you're not alone. We're turning Dave & Buster's all across the country into prisons to accommodate the many, many people who've been busted on DUIs after they drove out of the old Dave & Buster's.
I can't believe Judge Forsyth just gave me 40 years. And how the hell can I afford buffalo wings every day for the rest of my life? It's not fair. I'm innocent!
Hey, everybody at Dave & Buster's is innocent, but you're a lifetime customer now, and the rest is not our problem. So come on by Dave & Buster's Maximum Security Prison. We don't know why you're here, and we don't care. Bring money!
I joined the Army Reserve because I didn't want a stable civilian life.
I joined the Reserve because I wanted to get overused in a series of wars that weren't really thought through.
I joined the Reserve.
We interrupt this broadcast with some breaking news. A pumpkin shortage has hit America. It's a national crisis that only affects white girls, and that makes it a priority.
There's a pumpkin shortage? For real? What are we going to do? Jekka, did you hear this?
When are we going to Instagram now?
Fall is ruined!
That's fall, ruined for white girls, as news of the pumpkin shortage sweeps the nation. Up and down the country, young women are swarming farmers markets and pumpkin patches like locusts, leaving devastation in their wake.
You guys, I got a decorative gourd. I had to stab a homeless dude, but it was totally worth it.
Basic White Women of America. Today, we face up to a difficult truth. There is a pumpkin shortage in our country. That much is indisputable. Our thoughts and prayers are not enough. We need to change laws, or this will happen again, again, and again. Though, not being a basic white woman, I don't really give a hot shit.
Throughout the nation, suicide hotlines announce record levels of calls.
The phones are off the hook! It's like when Zayn left One Direction all over again!
As basic bitches, faced with the prospect of fall without mini pumpkins, decide life is no longer worth living.
A summer squash is so not a real pumpkin. Are you fucking kidding me, Whole Foods?
So that's it then. Let's end it all. I've got the Advil.
And I've got the vodka.
Farewell, sweet world. Farewell, fingerless gloves. Making flickers of piles of leaves and...
Starbucks pumpkin spice lattes.
Those are fine. They're only pumpkin pie spices and syrup.
So we can still get pumpkin spice lattes? For real?
Sure.
Oh, thank God. Oh, my God.
Fall's back on!
Yay!
Yay!
And with another crisis averted, all that remains is to say, God bless the pumpkin spice latte. God bless white girls. And God bless America.
They don't like it when I roll my R's. Here if I do it more. Next on the final edition.
Okay, I think you should do one of these.
What?
I'm just
you don't improvise, that you're telling me?
No, I can't improvise this. There's not enough substance to get my teeth into.
After these messages, the final edition radio hour will go to pi squared.
We will be right back after this.
Now, do something French. Imagine you drinking wine.
Just did.
We'll be back to discuss on the final edition radio hour.
Okay, these are incomprehensible. That's enough.
We'll be back soon with more of the final edition
radio hour.
Welcome back to the final edition radio hour. I'm Tony Hedra. In this show, we're airing the third and final portion of my conversation with legendary editor and essayist Lewis Lapham about satire, satirists, and their role in modern society. At this point in the conversation, we're discussing one of satire's ripest targets, media pundits and their self-appointed role as guardians of the Republic's destiny. Like, you know, David Brooks.
All of those Sunday morning TV shows are that. And I can't end up listening to George Will or David Brooks. David Brooks does it for PBS. But it's swill slopped into the bowl of the...
It's actually, and I think...
Rule.
I've heard David Brooks described as NPR's sort of straight talker, you know. He tells it like it is at the New York Times. And it's just extraordinary how words don't mean what they mean. Yeah. Which comes back to George, of course. Because words were everything.
Well, he wants to teach a moral lesson at all the time. It's all about character. It's never about money. If people are poor or unsuccessful or unhappy, it's because they haven't learned humility or they haven't learned the meaning of... I mean, he's got a column this morning in a paper about how to be grateful.
For your food stamps.
Yeah, there used to be a Catholic priest, Cardinal Sheehan. Do you remember him?
I remember him very well.
And he used to do...
Sheen, actually, his name was.
Sheen, I think, yeah. But he would give self-improving, helpful lectures.
Right, on Sunday night.
On Sunday nights, yeah. Right. I mean, you could think of essentially the Washington media establishment as a college of cardinals.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, look what they're going on about this year's election, the presidential election. First of all, it isn't even an election. It's a staging of the legend of democracy. It's this pageant, the kind of thing you put on at a state fair, and prolonging it over 2 years with candy-coated sound bites and bombast bursting in air to prove that our flag is still there. I mean, the pretense, it's a show. It's like the Super Bowl. And the fact is that we don't have... in this country, a working democracy. What we have is a oligarchy. But people want to believe otherwise, and the show gets more and more expensive to put on because it's hard to keep an audience. I mean, in I think all but six or seven states in the United States, one's individual vote does not count. Certainly that's true in New York because of the way the Electoral College works. It's a majority, and the majority is always going to be Democratic, blue, and same thing in California, and then there are other states that are going to be red no matter what, and so it's meaningless. And
so what you want, I mean, a vote in New York is like a fraction of a vote in, say, Indiana.
Well, not even in Indiana, because it isn't even a fraction. The vote, the electoral vote counts, and there are certain swing states, Ohio, Florida, right. Virginia, maybe North Carolina, where it actually could go one way or another, where there are enough Democrats and enough Republicans, so the margin could tilt it one way or another. But in most states, that's just not true. And in a state where the electoral vote is already established and has been for the last 10 years, the individual vote doesn't really matter very much.
Right.
And the American people are not stupid. They know this. And the people like Brooks in Washington are always complaining about how Americans don't vote and how we now have less than 50% of the eligible voters vote in a presidential election.
There's nobody to vote for.
Their vote doesn't count.
Well, but also, if you don't want to vote for either of the two main candidates because you don't like either of them and you think they're both hopelessly compromised, you're not going to vote. What's the point?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
And there's no chance to vote for a third candidate. So they spend more and more and more money and take more and more time in order to try to drum up interest, get an audience. And so now we've now got 15 candidates on the Republican side. I mean, we're trying to put on a vaudeville show. And fortunately, we've got Donald Trump.
Right. That's great. Fabulous.
True Democrat.
Yeah. Populist. So we were talking, we talked once before about these things. In fact, it was about a year ago. And I asked you whether you thought America was finished, given these opinions and analyses. And you said, yes, you thought so. Or words to that effect.
Okay, well, that's wrong. Because the trouble with that is the word America and the word finished. What do we mean by either one of those words? The America of George Washington was far different place than the America of Abraham Lincoln, which is a far different place from the America of Teddy Roosevelt or the America of Eisenhower or of Obama. I mean, they are different sets of circumstance. What do we mean by America? Do we mean a place that holds out large opportunity for people to make their own way or follow their own dream? Do we mean a certain kind of a life? Because if you take the international measurements of quality of life in terms of longevity, I don't know, there are 20 or 28 categories compiled by the UN, and the America comes well below many other countries in the world at the moment. The constitutions that have been written around the world in the last 10 years are not taking the American Constitution as a model. Democracy, so-called, is losing its appeal in large parts of the world, certainly in China, certainly in Russia, certainly in parts of Europe. And again, what do we mean by democracy? I mean, as I just got finished saying, we don't really have democracy in the United States. We have democratic temperament, I think. I mean, the way the Americans deal with one another, but even that is changing. And there's been an argument about, a very bitter argument about capital and labor, between capital and labor in the United States for, well over 100 years. But to read the press, you wouldn't believe that. I mean, they say we're this exceptional nation where there is no social injustice and so on. And we see now, we're seeing this year, really for the first time in recent memory, people beginning to actually notice, get upset by income inequality, by the punishment that the creditors class is imposing on the debtor class in the United States, basically sucking them dry. I mean, from the point of view of the banks and the credit card companies, the American people might as well be cattle in stockyard feed pens in California, and they're giving off toxic gas, and what that toxic gas is debt. And that is what is the profit of what they call the FIRE section of the economy, finance, insurance, and real estate. We've developed a rentier class. America is today by no means as fair or free a place as it was, let's say, in 1941 or 1945, even in 1960.
When I first came here in the 60s, it was certainly a much more democratically equal place.
So, I mean, you can say America finished as what? I mean,
I'm not sure that was actually the phrase, but it was what's next?
I don't know what's next. I mean, in my darker moments, I think what's next is some form of fascism with a friendly face. There's more and more crowd control, clearly fear on the part of the oligarchy. They're beginning to be essentially, they're afraid of the American people, I think. You see it in the reaction of the police, to the black unhappiness in the streets. You see it in the kind of budget that Republicans, the Ryan budget that's on offer, where it's more and more and more money for weapons less and less money for infrastructure, for what we call a social safety net, cut food stamps, add missiles. It's a frightened ruling class. And people, any group of people, gets more dangerous when they get more frightened.
Indeed.
So I would not be surprised to see some form of social upheaval, because now it's finally beginning to cut into the middle class. I, you know, 3 years ago would simply dismiss the idea of revolution of any kind as nonsense. But now the middle class is beginning to really hurt. You read all the statistics and the way that employment is and the way that the redistribution of, not redistribution, it's the sharing of the common enterprise. And I think the signs of fear show up not only in the reactions on the part of the heavily armed police, but also the $15 minimum wage in Los Angeles and Seattle and here in New York. I mean, that the oligarchy doesn't do that unless they're a little bit nervous, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know which way the change will go, but people will stay, if they're comfortable with a government that they don't respect, is usually preferable to being uncomfortable under a government that one does respect. And the question is, how many people are willing to be a little bit uncomfortable with a government that they might respect? Because in order to get that kind of a government or that kind of a society, a lot of people are going to have to give up a lot. And the rich don't usually like to give things up.
Right.
And government doesn't usually like to give up power.
No, well, the government certainly doesn't like to give up power, as you say, the ambitions of power. But certainly it doesn't seem like satire has helped very much in
no.
the time.
No, maybe not. No, maybe not.
But I'm not sure that that's the function of satire.
I don't think it is. To move crowds to action, it's a different kind of rhetoric.
Right.
Churchill, you know, in 1940, blood, sweat, toil, and tears, right? It's that kind of language that you need, or it's the language of Eugene Debs, let's say, in 1912, when the Socialist Party gets 25% of the vote.
Yeah, but I would argue that genuine satirists who are really telling the truth about life as opposed to the version of life which is being sold to us do right. actually... I mean, George had this wonderful thing. He said, when you're making people laugh, if it's about something that they have never laughed at, especially if it's about something that they have never yeah. laughed at, that is when you can change their minds, in that instant, when they just laugh uncontrollably.
I think that's true. And I think that satire like that can prepare people to
elect a government they might respect.
Yes, and to listen to the rhetoric of somebody like, let's say, Bernie Sanders.
Right. Indeed.
Who is not himself a satirist. But revolutions, I think, have to be led by idealists. But their audience has to be prepared by satirists.
Great. Let's leave it there.
Okay.
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be back in seconds.
And now, some more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hello, I'm Stanley Sherman.
And I'm his wife, Rita Sherman.
We're the people in the car ahead of you in traffic.
The white SUV.
And we're here to encourage you to subscribe to the Final Edition podcast.
We are very interested in things.
We appreciate a show that takes time to examine the issues.
It makes us more informed voters, whether to go to the right or go to the left or go straight or stop and consider our options.
Well, the light is green up ahead, so we better slow down. This will take all my concentration.
Be careful, Stan.
I know.
The Final Edition Podcast. We have one.
Tony Hendra here again. And now, a new Final Edition Radio Hour feature. Our most popular tracks of the week on the new National Lampoon Presents the Final Edition iHeartRadio channel.
The following is from the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hello, and welcome to the Final Edition interview. Today, we'll be talking to a pop culture icon. Please welcome Kim Kardashian's ass. Thank you for being here, Kim's ass.
Hey, thanks for having me. Well, that's what I tell everybody.
Do you consider yourself to be a pop culture icon?
I consider myself an innovator, and I'm very proud of that. As an ass, people expect me to just be a follower.
I must say, you're much more sophisticated than I expected.
I get that all the time. People think I'm going to be like Kim's mouth. We're completely different. Even I can't believe the stuff that comes out of her mouth. And I'm an asshole. Literally.
On that note, you're certainly the butt, if you will, of a lot of jokes.
You have no idea the shit I go through.
Or the shit that goes through you.
Seriously?
Sorry. But to that point, people forget that on top of all your work entertaining people, you still have an excretory function.
Absolutely. I still have a regular job. At least, it's regular on good days.
You have a lot of responsibility.
Put it this way, if I do something wrong, there's a real mess to clean up.
You're huge right now, in every way. Do you think your fame will last?
I'm realistic. For body parts, exposure comes and goes. Have you seen Janet Jackson's nipple recently?
Yeah, good point. Or how about Harvey Keitel's penis? It was everywhere in the early 90s. And when is the last time you saw Mark Wahlberg's penis?
You want a specific date? Kidding. He's white. Kidding again.
Got it. Hey, you said you wouldn't mind taking a few calls. Let's go to our first caller. Caller, what is your name and what is your question for Kim's ass?
I'm Alyssa Milano's lactating breast. Kim's ass, I actually admire you, but it upsets me that you get all this adulation, and people freak out if I appear in public.
Excuse me, did you say you're a lactating breast? As in, what feeds babies? That's disgusting.
I represent motherhood. You're talking to a giant butt.
You're out of line, titty.
A lactating breast? That is so gross. It makes me want to take a giant dump.
I'm sorry you had to hear that. Next caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm a good friend of Kim's vagina. How are you doing, baby?
Can you put him on hold a second? Oh my God, it's Kanye's penis. He's always calling me, pretending that he's accidentally got me while trying to hook up with Kim's vagina. Put him back on.
Hello? You there, baby? Sorry about the late night call. Just thought you might like some company. Just let me slide.
Penis, it's me, Kim's ass.
What?
And you know it.
I swear, that was a slip-up on my part. You two are so close, but hey, as long as I got you, maybe this is a good time for you and me.
Penis, there is no good time.
You didn't say that after the VMA Awards.
There was a lot of alcohol involved that night. I know, because I had to work overtime the next day.
Hey, I had fun.
Not as much fun as you think you remember. You couldn't even stand up.
Hey, watch that. I'm standing up now, ass.
Yeah? Well, I have some packages ready for delivery, if you know what I mean.
What? No part of Kanye is good with metaphors. Have you heard our albums?
Let me spell it out. What can Brown do for you?
Huh? Oh, hey, I'm out of here.
Okay, maybe the calls are a bad idea. But I have a few more questions.
You know what? I have to be going.
It'll just be a few more minutes, Kim's ass.
I don't think you understand. When I say I have to be going, I mean I have to be going.
Gotcha. This has been the Final Edition Radio Hour interview with Kim Kardashian's ass. See you next time. Are we good? Did we make it?
I used to meet women by calling them b****s on the internet comment threads, but the women I meant were always b****s. Then I found OK Stupid. OK Stupid is the matchmaking service for people who aren't that bright and want to start a family.
I was tired of drinking and vomiting and waking up to a guy posting pictures of my t**s on Twitter. So I went on OK Stupid and posted pictures of my t**s while I vomited. That's how I met Daryl.
At OK Stupid, our detailed questionnaire determines your misguided beliefs, racist opinions, and poor critical thinking. Then we match you with someone who'll probably turn abusive out of sheer inability to communicate.
Ever since meeting on OK Stupid, my old lady and I have been drinking every night and getting into fights. But she'll change.
Daryl and I have been together for almost 2 years. He'd be here now, except he's married, which isn't really a problem.
I think my girlfriend and I are ready to have children and then not vaccinate them.
It's okay to be stupid on OK Stupid.
Deep within them lies a smile that never dies to thrill and still my heart. And its dropping skies I found a place.
This is from the Final Edition Radio Hour.
I am black.
I am gay.
And I am Latino.
We're the New Republicans.
Hey, my black friend. You are African American all the time. Tell the people why you are Republican, why don't you?
Glad to, my same-sex friend. I am a smaller government guy, who is also a black guy.
And I am a part of a growing group of Spanish-type people.
We're the New Republicans!
As a Latino man, I'm not going to deport myself.
I no longer wish to deport you, only to discriminate against you in more socially acceptable ways.
As do I, my fellow minorities. I am gay, but I feel gay marriage should be between a man and a woman.
We're the New Republicans!
I think evolution might be true.
I think facts might be true.
Global warming is still not true.
We're the New Republicans!
As a black man, I no longer believe in not helping black people.
I am gay. I am here. Get used to it.
I speak Spanish.
Now America has a real choice.
It's like the choice between Oreos and Hydrox.
Vegas and Atlantic City.
Type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes.
We're the New Republicans!
Are we off?
Oh, that was pretty good.
I'm going to be the gay guy next time.
This is an automated update from LinkedIn.com to remind you that you're having a work anniversary. Today, you have now been working for 3 years at...
Unemployed!
Congratulations! If you have time in your busy day, could you please take our survey about your work at...
Unemployed!
Is your work satisfying at...
Unemployed!
Are you proud to tell people you're a part of...
Unemployed!
Are people more or less interested in your opinion when they hear you work at...
Unemployed!
We'll let you get back to work now, but thank you for sharing your career achievements with LinkedIn, and we hope that you have many more years ahead at...
Unemployed!
More to come on the National Lampoon's iHeartRadio channel, powered by the Final Edition.
Welcome to another episode of Marcus Welby, MD, Marijuana Doctor.
Nurse, check the glaucoma ward in 5 minutes and get me more rolling papers.
Dr. Welby, this is Timmy. You'd better have a look at him.
Well, hello there, Timmy. How are you feeling today?
I want to be out playing baseball, Dr. Welby, but I got this pain in my tummy real bad.
Well, let's have a look at your test results.
The news isn't good, Marcus. That tumor is right next to his spine.
The tumor looks like bad news.
Tumors always do.
I concur. I guess there's really only one thing to do.
You mean?
Yes. He'll have to smoke and smoke until the tumor falls out. Timmy, are you ready to get high? Are you ready to get higher than you've ever been?
I guess it's what I gotta do if I want to play baseball again.
That's my brave little stoner. Doctor, bring me 3 grams of sour diesel and a stemless bong.
Yes, Dr. Welby.
Minutes later.
Dr. Welby, that tumor still hasn't dislodged.
How are you doing so far, Timmy?
Is any of this real?
We don't know yet, Timmy. We don't know.
Marcus, look! The tumor, it's mellowing out.
Yes, it looks like the tumor just wants to drop out and do its own thing.
The marijuana is solving the problem.
Just like it solves every medical problem. How are you feeling, Timmy?
I'm I'm stoned.
Uh-huh.
I'm really stoned.
Uh-huh.
Can I smoke this again tomorrow?
No, Timmy. We don't smoke marijuana for fun. Marijuana is an important medical drug, and we use it for healing. Only for healing.
Come back next week when we hear Marcus Welby, MD marijuana doctor, tell little Timmy.
Timmy, you're under arrest for trying to heal yourself.
For more, listen to The Final Edition on the National Lampoon's iHeartRadio channel.
This is from The Final Edition Radio Hour.
Though red states feel uncomfortable with same-sex marriage, some conservatives have found something they do like. Our Pepper Lewis reports.
Merton Earle and his friends in the town of Placid, South Carolina, were complaining about gay marriage when they had a revelation.
Well, we were saying if I could marry another guy, I could marry a giraffe, or I could marry a toaster, or I could marry my shotgun. And then I realized I could marry my shotgun.
Merton's parents said they were shocked when their son announced he would marry a 22-inch Browning A-Bolt 12-gauge with a 3-inch chamber and a satin walnut stock, but they've since come to accept it.
They're always together. He's got a million photographs of the thing.
And he talks to it.
He does. For hours. And you know, I think this sort of gun love runs in the family.
I experimented a little in high school.
But Merton's friend Tateman says he's having a hard time dealing with this.
It's one thing if two men get together and they know what they're doing, but is a gun really aware it's making a lifetime commitment? Is this altogether fair to the gun? Oh, who am I kidding? I was in love with that gun, too. Why didn't I speak up first?
We're here at the ceremony where Merton and his gun are taking their vows where they first fell in love. In a deer blind, covered in buck urine.
Do you, Merton Charlemagne Earle, take this gun to be your lawfully wedded gun? To aim and to fire, in sickness and in health, until it's pried from your cold, dead fingers.
I do.
Then by the power vested in me by the great state of South Carolina, I now pronounce you man and gun. You may now kiss the gun on the mouth.
The proceeding was presented by the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Thanks for listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. The voices of the Final Edition are performed by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Abby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, James Mount, Rob Miller, Kayla Merrill, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. Credit to our writers at the Final Edition Radio Hour, Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Abby Parker, Jeff Chrysler, John Marshall, Barry Lank, Leslie Shapira, Kurt Weitzman, Kate Knowles, Jeremy Rayburn, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler, West Coast production by Barry Lank. Audio edited and engineered by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC. Copyright 2015. We'll be right back.